cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it. Song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. 34 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Still to come on the program from Alabama political reporter Josh Boone. That's in the next hour. Also, Alabama Daily News is Todd Stacey. And wrapping up at the 11 o'clock hour with State Representative Danny Crawford, the latest iteration of critical race theory legislation pre-filed. We'll talk to him about his bill. So that's coming up. Please stick around for that. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, a friend of the program, State Senator Greg Albritton. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing? I'm doing well, fine. Thank you for asking.
Doing well, doing the same. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. Last time we talked in the last episode of what was going on in the State House, it sounded like it was still pretty busy. A lot of discussion about prisons and that. And for this time of year, for a mid-July, I assume you're still dealing with a lot of unfinished business.
Yes, sir. It has been busier than it should be at this point. Meetings are going on all the time. It's just that many of them I don't get invited to, but that's okay. I can interfere when I need to.
Well, interfere when you want to, perhaps, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but is it still? It's still
very busy.
It's still the same discussions right now. I assume prisons reapportionment and this money out there given to the state by the federal government, what to do with it.
Yeah, and if you want to throw gaming in there, that's still perking along at the same pace it was, and other matters, you know, the social issues are still raising their heads. So it continues to be an active season.
Yeah, the gaming side of that, that discussion has cooled off. I just my interpretation of that was, well, there's so much other, other business that seems to be more of a priority right now. And that's why we're going to hold off on gaming and probably, I would, think not in an election year either.
There may be a thought along that line, but that's not in many thoughts. this remains an active issue. It continues to expand, and the state continues to lose dollars and lose control. But other than those issues, we can ignore it.
Well, it's just... It looks like you guys in the Senate would go tomorrow, as it stands right now. You see a path getting enough votes to get a constitutional amendment, but it's just it continues to be the how do you get the support you need in the House of Representatives?
Well, that seems to be the case. It has been, for a little bit. And in particularly with the change-ups that's going on, that's been announced, and those matters are now items that we've got to deal with, and they're going to affect everything that we do.
Yeah.
So, it will be greater. Anything is going to be a greater problem to move forward in the House because of those changes. Well, politics gets in everything, Jeff.
Do you think much will change? Even if this happens, even if we get a few new members from different parts of the state, but the issues remain, the issues to me seem like they remain the same. Is there other things, other elements we may have to worry about if you have too many changes between the bodies between now and 2023?
Yeah, because on those things that we've been continually working on, i.e. gaming, and also the prison matter, both of which we've addressed previously, at least in the Senate we have, and sent bills down to the House, or over to the House, whichever the proper term is, that once they get it, it never gets passed, it never gets completed. And so it remains unfinished. That has been the case with both of those major issues. At least we knew who's voting for what as of this past spring. That doesn't mean that because of politics, those votes will be there. And it certainly doesn't mean that if we have a turnover that's anticipated, and particularly in the House that's being talked about, that we won't know where we stand there. Of course, we couldn't get them passed before in there, so it may not make a difference there either. Interesting developments, though.
And you said you didn't know that this was necessarily the case, but historically, that fourth year of a quadrennium is not when you pursue such lofty ambitions, I suppose. Do you think that's different this time around?
I don't think it's different. The politics remain the same. Elections are upon us, and particularly this year, because the primary is not in June. The primary is at the end of May. Before Memorial Day, as I recall. So it's going to be an earlier vote in the spring. It's going to give a shortened time frame of competition and campaigning. And so, yeah, the pressure is already ramped up.
Well, it seems to poll very well. This is the question I've been posing a lot of guys about this kind of stuff. And that fourth year of a quadrennium, as I said, that the legislature tends to shy away from anything big and just kind of take the path of least resistance. But do you think that changes? Like, you want to take these, if it's something that's polling really well, it has the widespread support of the public, wouldn't it behoove the you guys that are running for re-election, I assume you're running for re-election, to want to, show that you're making progress on whatever's polling really high?
Well, elections are a part of the process. They are not the process. They're a part of the process. And you still got to do your job, even no matter what comes up, whether it's COVID, whether you're broke, or whether you got money, whether there's elections or not. That doesn't change the issues. It doesn't change the facts. It doesn't change the responsibility of moving forward with the things that the state has to get done. I don't think we have the time to sit back and wait on the prison matters. I don't think we have the time to sit back and wait on gaining control of gaming in Alabama. There's several issues like that, they're controversial, but everything in politics is controversial. We've just got to buckle down and we've got to do the job that we are told to do, that we're brought there to do. And that is pass legislation that will advance the state and advance the people of the state economically. That's what we should be accomplishing.
Senator, let's move on to the prison discussion. That was really, really, there's a lot of news about that here the last few weeks. It seems to have cooled down. Has there been any progress from your point of view in getting to the ultimate solution, whatever that might be?
Oh, yeah, there has been. I think there's been a great deal of progress. We have been, there's been different groups that overlap members, if you will, that's been meeting almost weekly, sometimes more than weekly, to iron out, to identify, and to figure out how we're going to approach this matter. I think we have the general aspects of what we've got to do, how that's got to be done, and a consensus on it. I think we know how we can finance it, pretty much. There's some details that we got to figure out there. But the complications come in is if we're going to renovate, we don't have a place to put the prisoners while we renovate. If we build, if the lease program is gone, if that is, that's still hanging out there in some way. But if that's gone, we've got to start and do the bid process, bid and build as the state requires, or we do something legislatively to shortcut that so that we can purchase the plans that's already been done. And all of those things are being talked about and discussed. And we've made a lot of progress, but we still got a long way to go.
But you sound like you sound like that trend is favorable, that it is progressing to where you will ultimately find that solution.
Jeff, I find myself in a circumstance that I'm optimistic that we have a solution for this. There is a clear solution as to what we need to do and also how to finance it. There is a clear solution in almost at hand on that. The difficulty is, where do we get the votes for it? That's the problem. Getting the backing and the support of the all arms of the government is not an easy thing, as we've discussed. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Where's the pulling and the tugging and the politics in order to get the votes to bring this to pass? That's the issues mainly. At least that's my perception.
And get in those votes. Once you have those votes nailed down, that's when we see the governor call the special session, it would seem.
Well, that's what the governor has told us in no uncertain terms. I think she has publicly stated and privately stated unequivocally that when the legislature has a bill and has a vote count, then she will call a special election if she approves of the plan. So that's quite an insurmountable issue because that's basically the same criteria she's used for the gaming legislation and other things. Okay, calling a special session is not as easy and not as foregone conclusion as we would think right now. The only thing that I believe the special session is going to be done for is the redistricting, and that's because legally we got to.
What are you hearing on reapportionment? Obviously, there's going to be some significant changes in our neck of the woods. I don't know how much you could talk about it, but obviously, you have your preferences. What do you think of that? The way that is going to play out?
I don't know that. The cards are close to the chest on that, and that's not because of any nefarious activity necessarily. It's because of the legal ramifications. Anything that's done will be challenged. That is the history in the last number of decades. That will occur. Will that stand up to scrutiny? I don't know. The 2010 did not. We wound up having to change that in 2018, and that changed the district substantially. That is that's guesswork at its best, and we hope to be able to do as little harm as possible, but we also need to make sure that we get our area stronger through the process.
Our part of the state, though, the population has shifted significantly in Baldwin County, part of your district there, more south Baldwin, but north Baldwin, you know, somewhat as well. You're going to have some kind of change, it would seem. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, my district will change. My district was the most significantly changed district in the state in 18. And the same was true, I think, back in 12 or after the 10 census and previous to that. This area gets jerked around quite a bit, not only because of population, but because of politics and the rural nature of much of the area and the lack of votes we have in South Alabama.
Well, and the population shifts around the state. You know, you're going to have some districts that are just going to get bigger that are already big are going to get even bigger, and then some others are going to get smaller. That's where things seem to be headed to me, but I guess time will tell.
Yeah, those meetings are beginning, and I hope we'll have some insights on that here in a couple of 3 weeks at least. I hope so, to begin to get a feel on where we are.
Yeah, I guess one of the big hiccups right now, the Census Bureau hasn't given the full data to the states to be able to figure out what they need to do.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. It's like a strip tease. You know, they're only showing a little bit at a time, just to tease you.
How much is that a hurdle for you guys running for re-election, not really knowing where your lines are going to be? You know, you're right now, I guess you're kind of, you got that in the back of your mind, but you don't really know who your voters are.
That's correct. You don't know. You don't know. That's a good question. You do the best you can. You know where your core pretty well lies, the fringes and the outsides, in particularly in an area as large as mine, where you have five. Back in 14, I had 8 counties. Now I have 5. I don't know what I will wind up with and where the fringes are going to be affected.
I mean, that's certainly a tough hurdle to overcome, but clarity is on its way, I think, or at least the debate over what the definition of clarity is, I suppose.
Yeah, temporary clarity. How about that? Temporary clarity.
I like where your head's at. Senator, we got to get out of here. We're up against a break here, but as always, we appreciate your time, and let's talk again real soon.
Thank you. Appreciate your patience.
That was State Senator Greg Albritton on the line there joining us. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back very shortly. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hello, West Virginia coal miner. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.